This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Benny and Haiti, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday. Benny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. It's our last work day of the week because Thanksgiving's tomorrow. It's company holiday Friday. Back in full effect coming up on Sunday. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored live. Horseshoe Casino brought to you by Rice Mirth Passora starting at 1 o'clock. Well, the Ravens, 3-point favorite. So we got keys, we got stats, we got film, we got all the Friday stuff coming your way, including our next guest, Bob Haiti, Vizrato, Nolan McGraw. Let's welcome in Shake It Up Sports. He's our insider. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, man. We got Barkley versus Henry. Henry versus Barkley. You know, they don't tackle each other. We get it. But top two rushers in the NFL. I'm guessing Barkley is exceeding expectations in Philly. What about Henry here? And I know there was a talk, local narrative, as well as national, that him and fitting into the Monken offense, he and Lamar coexisting. Is he, as great as he's been, is he exceeding expectations? I mean, his touchdown streak just came to an end. He was scored a touchdown literally every week. Has Derrick Henry been more than you thought he was going to be and then some?
For me personally, I would say no, just because I kind of thought he would fit well with Baltimore. I mean, I know a lot of people had their reservations around this working, and a lot of it was just centered around, can Derrick Henry still produce at an elite level, considering he's going on the wrong side of 30? But I just have firmly believed every now and then there are anomalies, and he's one of them, and he's continuing to show that. And the Ravens have just had historical rushing attacks with I don't want to disrespect the guys that have been back there, but guys that aren't to the caliber of Derrick Henry for sure. And so I just couldn't really see a scenario where this didn't work. Now, the offensive line at the start of the year was a genuine concern, and that was probably the biggest reservation I had. But no, I'm not surprised that a backfield that has Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in it is arguably the best rushing attack in football right now.
Hey, Cordell, if it comes down to 50-yard field goals or more, it's going to be an interesting game because Jake Elliott's 0-for-4 from 50-plus. You know, and Tucker is 2-for-7, something like that. So
yeah, both
kickers have struggled over 50.
Yeah, both of them. Both of them are. And both of them have been reliable. Yep. You know, obviously Tucker has been reliable pretty much his entire career. And Jake Elliott, as far as I can remember, I don't remember the concerns ever being to where they are right now. But look, it's just a crazy year for kickers. I mean, this is now, I would say, back-to-back weekends of insanity on special teams all around the league. But really, it's been that case all year. It's been Tucker's not the only kicker. Elliott's not the only kicker this year that has been reliable, that all of a sudden your trust is shaky in them. I mean, you could say Evan McPherson. You could say Young Hoku. I mean, it's a lot of kickers all across the league that are shaky these days. And it's crazy because we went from the 55-plus yarders being kind of like no-brainers. You can go grab a beer, go to the bathroom or something during the field goal. And now, I mean, you're sitting on the edge of your seat whenever any field goal unit comes onto the field right now. So I expect with this being such a big game for both of these teams, you're probably going to get the better versions out of these two guys because it could come down to them.
Hey, Cordell, do you know, I guess maybe you don't know yet or not, if Devontae Smith, what do you think, play or not play this week?
It's tough. It's tough. It's tough to tell right now. I mean, you will start to get a kind of a feel for that today, you know, with guys getting on the practice field. But I'm sure with it being Thanksgiving tomorrow, I'm not sure how the Eagles are going to play that, but that may turn out to be somewhat of an extra day off for those guys as well. So we'll see. I mean, Devontae has had some of those issues with some of those soft tissue injuries in the past. And he's not having kind of the type of year that he's used to having right now, but he is definitely a threat when he's on the field. So I'm kind of waiting to see how that goes as the week goes on.
Hey, Cordell, you know, like watching the film and stuff, I'd want to keep Hurts in the pocket. I want to see, can you beat me from the pocket?
Yeah, I mean, look, Hurts is that offense goes right now with the run game, and that's kind of been the way that they have operated with Hurts in the backfield. Make no mistake about it, he can throw the ball, but his strength is throwing the ball down the field. He wants the big play. He's not necessarily going to sit in a pocket and carve you up with some short to intermediate throws all game and kind of walk up the field. So he wants the chunk plays, which kind of worries me a little bit because I know how good this Ravens defense has been the last 2 weeks, but they're not facing a team that has the type of weapons that this Philadelphia offense has, both in the run game and in the pass game. We know what A.J. Brown can do. Even if Devontae Smith isn't out there, I like Dallas Goedert a lot, and we know the Ravens struggles in the middle of the field. So I am curious to see if this defense can kind of follow up to the last two games that they have had. But with Hurts, yeah, he's definitely a home run hitter with his arm, but he just knows how to, you know, get it done. That's the thing with Hurts. I don't think looking at what he necessarily does well in a microscope level will really get you to appreciate what he does, but he can definitely beat you in a variety of ways, and most of it right now is with his legs.
Cordell, I think it's really important for Roquan to be, hopefully he's healthy this week, because, you know, if you're going to play, Malik Harrison may struggle in the type of game today, because with Saquon, you know, his ability and his vision, and he can pop in, pop out, in the burst through a hole, it's just a bad matchup for Malik.
I mean, honestly, it's a bad matchup for most linebackers, just being honest. I mean, nobody can seem to tackle Saquon Barkley in space right now. Mm-hmm. And you talk about those cuts. I mean, that last touchdown that he had Sunday night was just a one cut gone. I mean, he is so shifty. He's so quick. And he's fast. I mean, Saquon is as elite as it gets. Just not even at the running back position, but I just think as a football player, as an athlete, he is out of this world good. So they're going to have their hands full for sure. And Philly's another one of those types of teams where, similar to Pittsburgh, they don't do it the same way, but you know what Philly wants to do. You know they want to run the ball. You know they want to take some of those Hail Mary shots down the field to A.J. Brown. But they just have the talent. Unlike Pittsburgh, I think Philly has the talent to be able to really make more of that on the offensive end. So I think Roquan or not, they're going to have a problem, you know, getting Saquon down in space. It's going to have to be a lot of game tackles. Kyle Hamilton is going to be huge in this game because he's their best open field tackler. His job is going to have to be to make sure Saquon Barkley alone doesn't beat them.
Cordell Woodland checking it up. Sports our insider here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell, last thing for you. Jalen Hurts, I think he's a stud. We've talked about Barkley. We got the chapstick out kissing that ass for the last 10 minutes here. But their quarterbacks have been sacked 30 times. Where do you see an advantage here, if there is one, Ravens pass rush versus them and their passing attack?
I thought the pass rush did surprisingly well on Monday night, honestly. That was the one thing. I mean, the game honestly went the way that I thought it would. But the pass rush, the Ravens pass rush was a pleasant surprise for me on Monday night. So if they can get to Hurts, the thing with Hurts is he's not dancing around in the pocket for very long. He doesn't hold the ball the longest. I just think that there is a way to get to him if they're going to corral the pocket, if they're going to kind of crash it in a little bit. But he is pretty decisive when he wants to get out of there. So maybe a couple of shoelace sacks or whatever. But the way Owe's been trending here, his speed is turning in. He's getting closer and closer to making these plays. He's actually making plays right now. So I think there will be chances for them to get to Hurts. And that'll be huge if they can kind of get the Eagles in some passing down situations. Because, you know, like, again, you know what they want to do. They want to run the ball. They want to get it to third and manageable. You get a sack on first or second down, that'll be huge for the Ravens defense.
Cordell Woodland, 105.7 The Fan Insider. Also, shaking it up, Sports Cordell. Appreciate the time as always. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you and the family. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You got it. Cordell Woodland, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It's the whip around. It's feast week in basketball. Got a lot of college and pro stuff to talk about. College football rankings came out last night. The playoff ones, and that is. We'll talk about those. And then, coming up at 11:30, it's Notes from the North. We're going to Cleveland with Daniel Oyefuse. Brian Bacco from Pittsburgh is going to be joining us. And Conrad Clowers. That's like, is that like a real person? Sounds like something out of General Hospital. He'll be talking Bengals.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's the whip around. Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, new to the show. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist or band, send your request pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Notes from the North. Coming up at 11:30, going to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. News from the Nest is going to be picks today, Nolan. Coming up at the top of the hour as we got to cram a lot of stuff in. No pun intended on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. But the whip around college football playoff rankings came out last night. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, top five in the rankings. However, the seeds Oregon, Texas, Miami, Boise State. They would have byes if the college football playoff scenarios started today, which it does not. And right now, it would be Arizona State, Ohio State in Columbus, Tennessee, Georgia down in Athens. Happy Valley would be Penn State hosting Indiana, and then SMU would go to Notre Dame. So no real intriguing matchup of those, but there's still some things to be determined over the next couple of weeks.
It'll be interesting because who would have ever thought that, you know, Ole Miss was going to lose at Florida and Alabama was going to lose at Oklahoma. There's still, this weekend there's going to be more upsets. And then in the championship games, we still got two good weeks of analyzing what's going to happen.
Yeah, and Alabama not even showing up basically against Oklahoma.
No doubt.
This past week, Terps, speaking of college football, they're at Happy Valley, Penn State, taking on the Nittany Lions, Maryland 4-7, 1-7 in the Big Ten. Their only win was the come from behinder against USC. So it's been a disastrous season for Mike Locksley, 6th year leading the program. So far, so good with recruiting for next year, which is good. But just going up to Penn State, trying to compete. Nittany Lions, 25-point favorite. So track record between the two teams, especially during the Locksley, James Franklin era, has not been strong. Maryland has hung with Michigan, Ohio State last few years.
Yep.
Penn State has pretty much kicked their asses.
Yeah. And Penn State had their tough game on the road in Minnesota last week. This one
survived it. Yep.
They survived that one. And this one is going to be puffy pantser, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough gig for Maryland. But, hey, if they pull the upset, I'll be a happy dude coming up around 3:30 kickoff. Game will end around 9:30. Because college football games take like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Nowadays, college hoops, Maryland men coming up on this station at 4:30. They're taking on Bucknell, the Bison, in the Patriot League. They're 4-3 on the year. Maryland coming off that come-from-behind win against Villanova. Our coverage starts this afternoon on the Fan at 3:30. If you're looking to watch it, it's on Big Ten Network. So a little round ball fun for you there. Speaking of round ball, on a national level, Kansas, number one, beat Duke. 75-72, number 11. UConn lost their second straight game. Colorado, 73-72. It was Auburn handling North Carolina, but struggling early to do so. 85-82 over the Tar Heels. Auburn, number 4. Carolina, number 12. Number 9, Alabama. In overtime, beat number 6, Houston. That was an exciting game. Let's see. Oregon upset Texas A&M. Oregon 80-70 over the 20 Aggies. San Diego State upset number 21 Creighton, 71-53. Locally, it was Loyola, the Greyhounds, 70-67, coming from behind to beat VMI. And St. Joe B. Coppin, 83-54. Been a rough go of it so far this year for the Eagles. NBA, it was Chicago, 127-108 over the Wiz. Bob Carrington, Baltimore, 10 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Milwaukee, 106-103. They were blowing out Miami, but they held them off, 106-103. Dame time at 37 for the Bucks. Hayward Highsmith, 2 points for the Miami Heat there. And Phoenix, 127-100 over the Lakers. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, did not play. Coach's decision in that one. And in Major League Baseball, and we'll talk more about this. Well, I won't be here next week, but Blake Snell signed with the Dodgers. According to MLB Network, Orioles were one of the teams all in on him.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers, I would assume, one of the teams no longer in the Corbin Burns sweepstakes. So it looks like the Orioles are going to be willing to spend money. Question is, will the players take it? But Blake Snell, 2-time Cy Young Award winner, 5 years, .182. No opt-outs. $52 million signing bonus. So get some. I'd have loved to have seen him coming. But he doesn't. He's not a 200-inning guy. He's kind of a 5-6-inninger, and then the bullpen handles. But when he's dealing, he deals.
So he's getting 36.4 per.
But he doesn't eat innings like a Corbin Burns does.
Right. And that, to Vinny's point, that does reset the market, or it's close to resetting the market for pitchers. You know, position players, they're a whole different stratosphere, it seems like. I think it's very encouraging.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule out the Dodgers completely on still trying to attack, say, a Corbin Burns or a Max Fried. They've got the cash to do so.
Yeah.
But just, I didn't even expect him to sign this early in the offseason, before the winter meetings. I think this bodes well for the Orioles.
And keep in mind, last year was a debacle for Blake Snell settling in San Francisco because it took forever to get it done.
Did you think he was going to get more than that, Bob? Because the reason why I'm saying that is when you look at comparables now, you know, when you set the market, all right, 36. So what does that do for Burns?
Gets more.
Yeah, so probably 40.
Younger.
Yeah.
Get you deeper in the ball games. The best start, arguably, of the entire postseason in baseball was Corbin Burns against Kansas City, where he pitched in the eighth inning. He got zero run support.
Well, I do think it is interesting to see how Burns lines up with Snell money-wise, because they have the same agent. I mean, how often do you see, well, I guess baseball is different. All the top guys go with Boris, but does that mean that Burns is also going to be quick to sign here as well? I mean, did Boris learn his lesson?
Well, winter meetings, what, 2 weeks?
Early December, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. But Blake Snell off the board if you wanted him. Oh, off the board, speaking of which, if you're just tuning in, Daniel Jones signed with the Vikings. There was some linkage to Baltimore. So Daniel Jones recently told to leave. He got the Felix Unger, take your frying pan and get out of here. And he is now in Minnesota where he backs up Sam Darnold for the 9-2 Vikings. It's Vinny at 80. 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Notes from the North. Travel around the AFC North. Daniel Oyepusi. We'll talk Cleveland with him. Brian Bacco. Talk Steelers. And then Conrad Clowers. Talk about those Bengals. Bengals margin for error is slim. Hey, get on the good foot. Beat the Steelers. Helps everybody, right?
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns. Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. Walk. Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Notes from the North. You just heard it. All that fancy imaging coming out of the break. We're heading into week 13 of the National Football League season. Bob, Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. But let's start it off in Cleveland from ESPN.com. He's a Baltimore kid, and he's proud of it. He should be. He's Daniel Oyepusi. Daniel, good morning. What is up?
Doing great. Good morning to you all.
Appreciate your time, as always. Now, the Browns aren't going to win the AFC North unless things go completely insane in the last 6 weeks of the season. But that being said, how big of a role might Cleveland have in deciding who does, in fact, win the division?
Yeah, you know, I wrote that it's kind of like my takeaways after, you know, that upset win against the Steelers last Thursday night. Like, this could possibly be a team that plays spoiler. I mean, we already saw them beat the Ravens, which was a real shocker, and then they followed it up next week with another stunning win. And I believe, you know, the next four of the next final six opponents or so are all teams with winning records. You got some other teams like the Bengals and the Dolphins that are, you know, trying to fight to scrap their way back into the mix. So this is a team that, you know, despite a disappointing 3-8 record, they still have some talent, and they're still going to fight, as we saw last week. So they could definitely play a role in, you know, whether it's the AFC North, AFC seeding, they'll definitely, you know, have a say in how that ends up for sure.
What's Jameis Winston's future for the Browns?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, since he took over for Deshaun Watson after his injury in week 8, like, there's no doubt that this is a kind of re-energized offense. And you could say maybe a re-energized team. They were the worst offense by far with Watson under center, and they're by no means a juggernaut, a perfect team. But you do see more consistency down and down, more explosiveness, more playmaking, kind of what they expected, you know, with this sort of new-look offense they were trying to build around Deshaun Watson. Now, obviously, he's a free agent after this season. You look at the free agent crop, the free agent class of quarterbacks, it's really not that great. I mean, Sam Darnold is probably at the top of that list, and then Jameis Winston isn't too far behind. The Browns have not been they've been very non-committal when it comes to Deshaun Watson's, you know, standing as the starter. Obviously, they're still contractually tied to him, but it doesn't seem like they're just going to hand him the starting job when he comes back. And by all accounts, it seems like they do want to bring in some competition, whether that's through the draft or at quarterback. And, you know, it makes sense to bring him back in. You know, I spoke to somebody in the organization that, you know, thought that there wouldn't be as much overreaction outside the league to maybe, you know, some of Jameis Winston's start so far, which would possibly give them a good chance at bringing him back. But yeah, I think there's definitely a shot because this team has definitely been re-energized, really gravitated toward him.
Daniel Oyefusi, ESPN.com. Daniel, as I ask you on November the 27th, pick a winner of the AFC North as you see it.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the Ravens. You know, obviously, they've really gotten things rolling after the 0-2 start, but, you know, still kind of losing some head-scratching games along the way. But I don't know, just something with the Steelers. You know, we talk about, like, this black magic that the Pittsburgh has running around. Like, I don't know, I just feel like at some point it's got to wear off. I think maybe we saw the start of that last Thursday night. They do have a pretty tough schedule to finish with a ton of divisional games. So I do think that we'll see Pittsburgh fall off a bit, and I think we'll see Baltimore kind of sustain some of that recent success that they've had and over time overtake the Steelers in the division.
Daniel, I like how you're thinking. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Daniel.
All the best. Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
There's Daniel Oyefusi, everybody. Let's go to Pittsburgh, speaking of the Steelers, and bring in from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's welcome back to the show Brian Bacco. Brian, good morning. Appreciate the time, as always. Pittsburgh coming off that loss to the Browns. We just talked to Daniel Oyefusi from ESPN.com. And Baltimore and Pittsburgh still have to face off coming up on December 1st. But do you see the Browns ultimately deciding who wins the AFC North when it's all said and done?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that was a bit of a, I don't want to say trap game, but it was one that I thought the Steelers could lose because I wasn't ready yet to put them in that top tier of AFC teams, Super Bowl contenders. They still struck me as a group that could go out there and sort of lay an egg in a charged environment, hostile environment on the road in Cleveland, and that's exactly what happened. They hope that's not going to come back to bite them, but it doesn't get any easier this week going down to Cincy and playing a Bengals team that season is hanging by a thread.
Yeah, Brian, I think the Bengals, they have to win out. I think the Steelers are going to have a real tough time this Sunday. I picked the Bengals to win this game.
I am too, Vinny, and I know that you know, there's a lot of schematics and X's and O's that would point to the Steelers being able to have success in this one. But I also see on the other side, I mean, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, it's so hard to keep them down for four quarters. And I think it could become a bit of a back-and-forth shootout, way more than it was when the Steelers had the Ravens at their place a couple weeks ago. And it might, you know, boil down to who's the more desperate team. And this is a big game for the Steelers, but it's a humongous game for the Bengals because you're right. I don't think they can afford to take any more L's if they're not going to miss the playoffs here.
Brian, the only thing that would concern me if I'm a Steeler fan is, can I score enough points? Because I know I can kick field goals, but can I score enough touchdowns?
Yeah, and that's been part of the, you know, they're having issues, short yardage, third down, red zone. I mean, they can still take the top off with a Russell Wilson deep ball to George Pickens or Calvin Austin. We saw Mike Williams in the Commanders game. But other than that, they've kind of had a hard time sustaining. The run game hasn't been as potent these last few weeks as it was early to midway through the season. And I'm kind of with you. You know, the Bengals corners are pretty bad, but it might be who has the ball last in the jungle on Sunday.
Brian Bacco, talking Ravens for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ravens Steelers coming up 21st. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, any chance, any way that Justin Fields at some point, barring injury, gets incorporated to this offense to maybe give it a boost?
Yeah, I mean, they did that Thursday night against the Browns a little bit, and you know, some people in Pittsburgh think it was too much. Of course, when it doesn't go right, everybody's going to second guess the head coach and the offensive coordinator. It is difficult to call it because I think, you know, each week they're going to build the game plan and, you know, they're going to base it on their matchups, how much they think it's useful to put Fields in there and mix them in. But once you get in game, it's a whole different issue, and it's trying to have a feel for how things are playing out and the flow of it and whether they need them, whether it's going to throw off the rhythm of the offense. You know, they stuck to just design runs early against the Browns, and then they had him uncork a long one to George Pickens on 3rd and 4, and it was incomplete. They didn't put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands to end it, and that made for quite a mess for Mike Tomlin to deal with these last 10 days.
Well, at least Pickens handled the loss well from Gabusa.
He never does.
Brian Bacco, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, appreciate your time as always. Happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, you and the family. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too. We'll see you.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Bacco, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Take it on the Bengals in an interesting game for sure. Cincinnati's actually favored in this game. And here to talk about that from the Cincinnati Herald, let's welcome into the program for the first time ever. It's Notes from the North. Hey, Bob, Eddie V. Serrato. He is Conrad Clowers. And Conrad, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us in Baltimore. And every week when we do this exercise and we talk to Bengals reporters, hey, I still think Cincy's got a chance to make a run to the playoffs. How do you feel about this with this monumental game against the Steelers looming this weekend?
Well, Cincy, you know, this has always been a big rivalry, going back to the 70s and 80s. It's always been a big rival. So I think the Bengals will be up for this task. I think they're going to be ready, and because they know they're in a situation that if they want to get to the postseason, they're going to have to win, and it's going to have to start this week.
Conrad, I mean, when you look at their schedule, you can see a path where they can win out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This team is definitely capable of putting together a string of wins. Now, they're going to have to shore some things up on the defensive end, because the six of the seven losses could have gone either way. I mean, they could easily be 10-1, 8-2 easily, but for the first time, they have lost every close matchup that they've had this year. So it's going to be crazy. Yeah.
What's the biggest problems, Conrad, on that defense? Is it the run defense or the secondary or a combination of all?
Well, I think it's been a combination of all. I mean, they've lost a lot of guys to free agency, guys that have gone other places. Cornerbacks, I mean, from that Super Bowl team that they had back in 22, they've only got half the guys left there. And so a lot of the new guys that they plugged in, I really don't think they're grasping the scheme as well as they should be. And there's just too many breakdowns in communication, and I think that's led to a lot of the losses. Yeah.
Now, here in Baltimore, Conrad, last thing for you before we let you celebrate your holiday and get back to work, most importantly. Here in Baltimore, a lot of Ravens fans think we have a Justin Tucker problem. Is there a McPherson problem in Cincy right now?
You know, going into this year, his nickname was Money Mac, because he was always money. 50 yards out, 40 yards out, you could always count on Evan McPherson. And he is directly pretty much lost two games for us. I mean, on pretty much chip shots. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, there is a field goal problem. But I think Zach says he's sticking behind Money Mac. He's going to stick with him through high and low. So I'm hoping it's just a mental thing and he can get through this.
Conrad Clower, Cincinnati Herald, talking about the Bengals. They have the Steelers coming up this weekend. Conrad, appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you and the family. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Hey, don't eat too much now.
All right. Thanks, Conrad. And drink a lot, too. Hey, thank you, Conrad. Conrad Clower. So they have a McPherson problem in Cincinnati. He's only converting about 72% of his kicks this year as well. We'll come back, reset the program. Got news from the next top of the hour. We're going to do picks at that time. We got buy or sell 12:15. Where's the holiday money? And Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens 3-point favorites over the Eagles. Is it an appropriate spread? We're talking about that here on The Fan. We're going to do it. Buy or sell 12:15. Vinny's keys to victory coming up as well. Elliot Shore Parks, WIP up in Philadelphia. Hey, probably 2 months ago, Sirianni was a scrub and they wanted fired. Sort of like last week in Pittsburgh when the Steelers lost to the Browns.
Yeah.
Got people here in Baltimore. Hey, we need to trade our ball for Tom. All right. I'm sure Pittsburgh fans be like, hey, we'll make that trade.
No doubt.
But Sirianni now, he's a guy that's cool. It's all about the ebbs and flows of the season. He's got NFL lunch coming up, film breakdown of the Philly offense. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Oh, we got so much to get to, but let's get out to the phones. We'll go to Ed and Arbutus. Ed, thanks for holding. What's up?
Yes, sir. Bob, Vinny, good day to you, gentlemen.
Same to you, Ed. Yep. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays, man.
And you as well, Bob, and you too, Vinny.
Thank you.
Very briefly, Eagles this Sunday, convinced this game is decided on a scrimmage line, big boy ball. And it'll be very easy to clearly recognize who has the greater surge dominance on TV or in person. You'll be able to see it. Jalen Carter, as you mentioned and emphasized, Vinny, watched him beat the double team last week. It's routine to him. consistently pushing the pocket. Mm-hmm. He's a definite double A gap force. Receiver Brown, physical to the catch and likeness to what Anquan Boldin was, strong hands. He will work the field middle. Barkley, he runs skinny to the hole, meaning he allows the blocks to occur with extremely quick jump cut to daylight and tremendous speed burst. Rest man tailback Gainwell is also more than capable. Hurts, good game manager of his offense. He will not rattle, takes care of the ball, evasive enough to beat the sack for a throwaway to avoid a loss. He will keep down and distance manageable, doesn't hurt his defense. If he gives up a pick, it'll happen on a deep shot, good as a punt. That's it, gentlemen. Have a good holiday.
All right, Ed. Thank you very much. And look, I remember A.J. Brown, his second year, when the Titans beat the Ravens here. Nolan, remember that one? In overtime, where Derrick Henry eventually ran in for the game-winning touchdown. Derek Wolf, I guess, remember Derrick Wolf? Didn't he carry bears around or something? When that has like his deal?
But I forgot about that.
Derrick Henry's like, enough of this. But A.J. Brown, on what I think was the tying touchdown, lugged five Ravens defenders into the end zone. That guy's a stud, and he's fast, he's mean, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. I don't see a matchup, a fair one. I mean, it's one of, what's the old saying, you can't slow him down or you can't stop him, you just hope to contain him or some nonsense.
The only thing is like, I think he separates better than Boldin. You know, and I don't, Boldin wasn't 226 pounds. This kid's 6'1", 226.
No, I'm not comparing him to Boldin. I'm just saying he was
doing it. Well, no, that's what Ed did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't see a comparison to Boldin because I think he's a better route runner because he can create separation.
I just remember Queen, like he was going for a ride with his dad at Patterson Park or something. Hey, take me around the park. No, I'm taking you to the end zone for the tying touchdown. Let's go to Brian in Owings Mills. Brian, what's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to say happy Thanksgiving and thank you guys a lot. Year in and year out, man, you make everybody's day go by great, man. Even now, even during the football season and off the football season. And shout out to caller Ed and Arbutus. Happy Thanksgiving to him and his family. And all right, Bob, what are you doing, man? Hall of Fame, John Harbaugh. I'm going to do your impersonation. Yeah. I'm going to sell that because he sucks. And, Hardball, he's got to get out of here. The guy doesn't know what he's doing out there. He almost cost us a freaking game. Get him out of here.
Brian, if he wins another Super Bowl and his story's not finished being written yet, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
He's not. He had 2019, Bob. Where were you then?
Hey, look, every coach ever has lost playoff chair. Belichick lost two Super Bowls. Only guys that didn't lose Super Bowls were Bill Walsh, and he lost three Super Bowls. Thank you. Bill Walsh, Chuck Noll, but they lost playoff games.
Okay, but they still have rings to show for that. John has a ring that he won with a veteran team with experienced guys. It wasn't like he was the reason for that. You could have had Billikin, we could have still won that. All I'm saying is he had his opportunities, and he's blowing them. Lamar's future is shrinking. He's not going to play until he's in his 30s. Do you guys ever stop to think about that? People call in and say, well, why doesn't he run? Well, you know why? He's thinking for the future. He's not going to be playing until he's 30, and he's not going to need a crutch to walk around in either, like these idiots keep saying, run, run, run. No, he's trying to get rid of the ball and try to win this thing. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Brian, all right, let's get back to the tally. Fire Harbs won. 1-0.
We can't have any repeats in there. I think Brian accounts for half the
count.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Brian, it gets old after a while.
But I think Harbs could win three straight Super Bowls, and he'll still be reluctant to give him credit. Yeah. But hey, we're all entitled to our opinion. We'll come back. News from the Nest / picks. Stay tuned for that. We'll take your phone calls as well. 410-583-1057. Buy or sell 1215. Vinny's Keys. Elliott Shore Parks. Talk about the Eagles. They've won seven in a row. They're coming in as underdogs. That's a hot team. They got a great quarterback, a stud running back, kind of sort of like the Ravens. Where's the advantage on either side? We'll talk to Elliott about that.